When you were born, your intestines were virtually sterile, free of microorganisms. Almost immediately, however, bacteria, both friendly and harmful, fought for dominance. Actually, it's a battle that's never totally won. The harmful bacteria are never completely eliminated. But in a healthy body, the bad guys never get a chance to gain a foothold, to colonize, to reproduce exponentially. One of the problems, of course, is that every second of every single day, we're constantly being exposed to billions and billions of potentially harmful microorganisms with every breath we take or bit of food that we swallow or swig of water that we drink. The bottom line, though, is that if you were breastfed, somewhere between days 4 and 7 after you were born, the beneficial bacteria won the battle and staked their claim to virtually every square inch of your digestive tract, from your mouth to your anus. Researchers now realize that one of the chief reasons breastfed babies get so many fewer infections than formula-fed babies is that mother's milk, particularly the colostrum, tends to promote superior growth of beneficial bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract, whereas store-bought formulas have little such beneficial effect. Anyway, the net result is that in a breastfed baby, beneficial bacteria such as bifidobacteria control over 90% of the intestinal tract. These microorganisms, in turn, produce a large amount of essential byproducts in the intestines, which act as a barrier to the growth of dangerous pathogenic microbes that can cause disease and infection. Incidentally, the same battle is fought in the vaginal tract, the nasal cavities, and in the mouth. Just as a note, there are some 40 different types of bacteria resident in a healthy mouth alone. Bottom line is that when you're healthy, over 100 trillion microorganisms from some 400 different species flourish throughout the length and breadth of your intestinal tract, aiding in digestion, absorption, and the production of significant amounts of B vitamins and enzymes. But even more importantly, they cover virtually every square inch of available surface space in your large and small intestines, thus crowding out all harmful bacteria, allowing them no place to gain a foothold. Unfortunately, the levels of beneficial bacteria decline dramatically as we age. Some of the reasons for this decline include, well, for one, over time, the colonies of friendly bacteria just naturally age and lose their vitality. Disruptions and changes in the acid-alkaline balance of the bowels can play a major role in reducing the growth of beneficial bacteria. In addition, these changes tend to favor the growth of harmful viral and fungal organisms, as well as putrefactive disease-causing bacteria. And of course, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, like Advil, Motrin, Midol, etc., are destructive to intestinal flora. And don't forget the chlorine in our drinking water. Keep in mind that chlorine not only serves to kill bacteria in the water, it is equally devastating to the colonies of beneficial bacteria living in the intestines. Or if you've ever undergone radiation or chemotherapy treatment, keep in mind that these are devastating to your inner bacterial environment. And medical doctors never make any attempt to repair this damage after your treatment is done. And of course, virtually all meat and chicken and dairy that you eat, other than organic, is loaded with antibiotics, which destroys all of the beneficial bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract. Also keep in mind that a diet high in meats and fats, because they take so long to break down in the human body, promotes the growth of the harmful putrefying bacteria. Constipation, of course, allows harmful bacteria to hang around longer, which allows them to proliferate. Cigarettes, alcohol, and stress are also major culprits, as are some antibiotic herbs, such as golden seal, if taken in sufficient quantity. And if you've ever been subjected to a round of medicinal antibiotics, you can kiss your beneficial bacteria goodbye. The problem is that antibiotics indiscriminately destroy both bad and good bacteria, allowing virulent mutant strains of harmful microorganisms to emerge and run rampant inside the body. Actually, antibiotics, both medicinal and in a food supply, are the number one culprit in the overgrowth of harmful pathogens in the gastrointestinal tract, a condition called dysbiosis that may be at the root of many autoimmune disorders and certain cancers. The bottom line is that a properly functioning intestinal tract is one of your body's first lines of defense against invaders, and most of us have lost that line of defense. To give you some idea as to how significant the problem is, consider that in a healthy colon there are, on average, anywhere from 100 billion to 1,000 billion beneficial bacteria per milliliter, and that's about just 1/5 of a teaspoon. Anyway, you have anywhere from 100 billion to 1,000 billion beneficial bacteria that literally consume harmful bacteria and other invaders. However, in the typical American, because of poor diet and neglect of the colon, the beneficial bacteria count may be as low as 4 or 5 per milliliter. That's not 4 or 5 billion or 1,000, just 4 or 5. Now compare that 4 or 5 to 1,000 billion, and you've got some understanding as to the scope of the problem. And in fact, many researchers now believe that declining levels of friendly bacteria in the intestinal tract may actually mark the onset of chronic degenerative disease. The benefits of a probiotically optimized intestinal tract include, among a whole list of other benefits, things such as lowered cholesterol, inhibition of cancer, protection against food poisoning, protection against stomach ulcers, protection against lactose intolerance and casein intolerance, enhanced immunity, protection against many harmful bacteria, viruses, and fungi, protection against candida overgrowth and vaginal yeast infections, prevention and correction of constipation, and diarrhea, ileitis and colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, and a whole range of other digestive tract dysfunctions, improvement in the health and appearance of the skin, better nutrition from improved absorption and the internal generation of B vitamins, and for women, protection against vaginosis and yeast infections. To summarize everything we've talked about so far, there can be no true health or recovery from disease unless you have colonies of over 100 billion beneficial microorganisms flourishing in your intestinal tract, from your mouth to your anus again, aiding in digestion and absorption, the production of significant amounts of vitamins and enzymes, and working to crowd out all harmful bacteria, allowing them no place to gain a foothold. In essence, supplementation with a good probiotic is mandatory to raise your baseline of health. Now let's look at what makes up a good probiotic formula. A good probiotic formula is absolutely essential, again, for long-term intestinal health and long-term parasite control. When choosing a probiotic, look for the following characteristics. First, not all strains of beneficial bacteria are created equal. For each type of bacteria, there are recognized superstrains. Choose a formula that uses only recognize super strains of beneficial bacteria. They'll be identified as such on the label or in the company literature. If the strains are not identified, don't buy it. Also, make sure the formula you choose was developed using full culture processing so that the beneficial bacteria and its all-important supernatant are kept together. The supernatant, which is the medium the culture was grown in, contains a multitude of beneficial byproducts of the growth process and includes things such as vitamins, enzymes, antioxidants, and immune stimulators. Then there's the question of how many live organisms are left in your formula when you actually use it. Pick up any good probiotic formula, or any probiotic formula for that matter. Look at the label, and you'll see something like contains 13 billion live organisms per capsule at time of manufacture. And that's the problem, the at time of manufacture thing. The die-off rate can be astounding. Most formulas will experience a die-off approaching a log minus 3 or down to a paltry 13 million within just 60 days of manufacture. And that's, you buy it 60 days after manufacture, it's still downhill before you get to finish it all. Heat and moisture accelerate the process, which is why most manufacturers recommend that both you and the store you bought your formula from keep your probiotic supply refrigerated. But again, you have no control while it's being shipped in trucks, or whether the store actually puts it in a refrigerator for the whole time or not. There is now a new process called LiveBac, which significantly retards the rate of die-off. Look for formulas that make use of this process called LiveBac. Now, there are many beneficial bacteria that can be contained in a good probiotic, but two are preeminent. Look for a formula based on these two. The first of these is L. acidophilus, which resides primarily in the small intestine and produces a number of powerful antimicrobial compounds in the gut, including things such as acetylin, lactosidin, and bacteriocin. These compounds can inhibit the growth and toxin-producing capabilities of some 23 known disease-causing pathogens, including Campylobacter, Listeria, and Staphylococci, as well as reduce tumor growth and effectively neutralize or inhibit carcinogenic substances. There are three recognized superstrains of Acidophilus. These include DDS, NAS, and BT1386. And you'll find DDS and NAS in most of the better formulas, but my personal preference is for BT1386. It has an extremely high potential for attachment to the epithelial cells that line the intestine. It's a high producer of hydrogen peroxide, which kills pathogenic bacteria. And of the three strains, it's the only one capable of utilizing glycogen to survive and flourish, which means it can thrive in the urinary tract, where it produces lactic acid to inhibit the growth of pathogens. This is particularly important to women to help prevent a whole range of vaginal infections. Now, it's worth noting that L. acidophilus is the primary beneficial bacteria in the vaginal tract. When the presence of acidophilus is compromised, this allows the bad guys, such as Gardnerella vaginalis, or E. coli, or chlamydia, to take over. Now, the second primary beneficial bacteria is bifidobacteria. Many researchers believe that declining levels of bifidobacteria in the large intestine actually mark the eventual onset of chronic degenerative disease. Bifidobacteria benefit the body in a number of ways. One, they consume old fecal matter. Two, they have the ability to remove cancer-forming elements, or the enzymes which lead to their formation. Three, they protect against the formation of liver, colon, and mammary gland tumors. And four, in addition to all of that, bifidobacteria are substantial producers of a range of important B vitamins. Now, beyond the two primary beneficial bacteria, there are a few others worth mentioning. But keep in mind that more is not always better. Too many beneficial bacteria in one formula may find the bacteria competing with each other before they can establish themselves in separate areas of the intestinal tract. But with that caveat in mind, the other bacteria that are extremely beneficial in any probiotic formula include L. salivarius, which helps digest foods in the intestinal tract and makes vital nutrients more assimilable. It also works to eat away encrusted fecal matter throughout the entire colon. It helps repair the intestinal tract by providing needed enzymes and essential nutrients, and it adheres to the intestinal wall, thereby forming a living matrix that helps protect the mucosal lining. Another important bacteria is L. rhamnosus, a powerful immune stimulator. L. rhamnosus can increase the natural killing activity of spleen cells, which may help to prevent tumor formation. It boosts the ability of the body to destroy foreign invaders and other harmful matter by 3 times normal activity and has been shown to increase circulating antibody levels by 6 to 8 times. Now, L. plantarum, another bacteria, has the ability to eliminate thousands of species of pathogenic bacteria. It also has extremely high adherence potential for epithelial tissue and seems to favor colonizing the same areas of the intestinal tract that E. coli prefers, in effect serving to crowd E. coli out of the body. At one time, plantarum was a major part of our diets. It was found in sourdough bread, sauerkraut, and things like that, but it's now virtually nowhere to be found. And finally, other important friendly bacteria you might find in a good formula include Streptococcus thermophilus, L. bucharicus, and L. casei. Now, there's one other group of beneficial bacteria I need to talk about. Much has been written about the properties of the soil-based bacteria, such as Bacillus subtilis, L. sporogenes, and B. laterosporus. For many people, these bacteria can produce a powerful boost to the immune system, but in certain circumstances, they may become toxic. It's hard to argue with the great results that many people have had using formulations that contain these cultures. On the other hand, it's possible to get all of the same results using only the safer cultures that I previously mentioned. Ah, I almost forgot. Any good probiotic formulation will contain something called fructooligosaccharides, also called FOSSs, which are a plant-based food substance which helps promote the growth of beneficial bacteria. For some of these bacteria, such as the bifidus, FOSSs can increase their effectiveness by a factor of 1,000 times or more. And one final note, start slowly. When you first start using a probiotic supplement, there's a good chance that you'll precipitate a die-off of bad bacteria in your intestinal tract. As these bacteria die and release their waste and toxins, this can lead to excessive gas and stomach rumblings and cramping for anywhere from 10 to as many as 21 days. So start with one capsule or even half for several days. Build up slowly to the recommended dosage for your particular supplement. Ah, and I'm sure some of you are wondering, what about yogurt? Well, eating yogurt, unless you make your own, doesn't really help. First, because the bacteria used to make most yogurt, L. bucharicus and S. thermophilus, are not the key beneficial bacteria, although they are indeed helpful. Some brands throw a small amount of acidophilus in after the fact, just so they can put it in the label. But even more important than the bacteria used to make the yogurt, though, is the fact that much of the yogurt that you buy in the store is now pasteurized after it was made. Pasteurization before the yogurt culture is introduced is essential to making the yogurt, but pasteurization after the culture has been allowed to grow is done merely to increase shelf life and totally destroys all of the benefits inherent in the yogurt. Also, you should keep in mind that a diet high in complex carbohydrates, such as fruit, grains, and vegetables, helps promote the growth of bifidobacteria in the large intestine. And of course, drinking chlorinated water or eating meats or dairy produced with antibiotics totally defeats any program you're on. But we'll talk more about all those foods in subsequent shows. Now that concludes part 3 of the Take Back Your Health series. In part 4, we'll cover one of my favorite topics, enzymes. A person's lifespan is directly linked to the exhaustion of their enzyme potential. In our next talk, we'll explore how to rebuild your enzyme reserves, thus leading to a longer, healthier, and more vital life.